Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 312, part 1, Hurry. Today is Friday, October 4th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
The title of today's message is Hurry. Friday we ministered on hungers. Hunger, I believe, a voice, we said, from the void. And we'll just go back and pick up on a little bit. An instinct, fighting to be recognized, clamoring to be satisfied. When you're hungry, you want to eat. But there are four great hungers. There's the body hunger and the mind hunger, heart hunger and the soul hunger. They're all very real, each having demands. All need recognition. And everybody's clamoring to be recognized. It's nice to be recognized, especially when you do something good. Seems like it's easier for us to recognize someone when they do something bad. But body hunger is the leader. But also then, again, the others are very real. And then we said, and I'll just briefly go over this, that life is the largest department store in the world. And that its earliest customers were Adam and Eve. They started the, what did we say, started the paying the price system. By an ill-advised purchase of a new variety of apple. And then their hungers sent them on a shopping spree. And the price was, like it is with anything that we buy, I'll buy that. Confiscation of all their property, eviction, dishonor, immigration. And then humanity has inherited their purchase and is still charged with that account. And the debt remains unpaid. And it's increasing. Are you hearing this? And also, the store stock shelves of life appeal to the very basic four great hungers of man, the body and the soul and the heart, the mind, and to their, let's use this word, their morbid acquired appetites. Wasn't like that in the beginning. And that the items for sale are good, they're bad, they're shop-worn, and they're indifferent. We are the shoppers in this world. We buy all kinds of things in our life. Buy unhappiness. Buy into situations. And so we are the shoppers, the buyers, good buyers, and we are bad buyers and careless buyers, but all shoppers. We all seem to pay the price for what we buy in our life. And what is that price? Our life. You are what you buy. Maybe you buy into getting rich. Well, then there's a consequence for that. Buying into that. There's all kinds of things that we call our life, and what we buy in our life is what we become. Now, Jesus said, we think it's strange and we think it's asking too much. He says, give your life to gain it. But we do that all the time. People on drugs will give their life for a fix. And Jesus just says, give your life to gain it. And the world offers nothing. No returns. Can't go and return it. And so you just go on buying in a hurry. I'll buy that. We say that all the time. Man, I can't buy that. Or I'll buy that. We buy bad marriages. And we go on and on and on in them. We buy the drugs. And I said again, we buy the wealth. We're always shopping for something to satisfy that desire of the mind and the heart. The body and the soul, and we're always shopping for something new. What can I buy? Maybe you're listening on the radio and you're thinking of buying into some girlfriend or some boyfriend. Boy, I'd buy that. Woo, huh? Well, don't be in such a hurry. And what's your next buy you're listening on the radio? The Bible says you are bought with a price. Why not sell out your body, your mind, your heart, your soul to Jesus Christ and be bought and have it over with? See, we got it all turned around. And so then hurry. The first sermon in the world was preached at creation. It was God's protest against hurry. It was a divine protest against hurry. It was a divine object lesson of perfect law, perfect plan, perfect order, perfect method. 6 days of work perfectly planned and 6 days of work perfectly scheduled. And when completed, there followed a rest. Oh my, how realistic the Word of God is, and how we've just fluttered away from being realistic. And I'm beginning to think that nature is very un-American. Because you see, nature never hurries. Now here we are at fall. Didn't hurry to get here, it's just that time. It's just that time. And winter will come, and spring will come, and summer will follow. That's never in a hurry. And so everything nature shows us plan, calmness, reliability. You can rely on it. A very absence of hurry. There's no hurrying. The sun is going to come up right at the right particular second. And Earth and moons and whatever, and they can now schedule them thousands of years in advance of what they're going to do, because it's nature is right on time. Well, we're in such a hurry. But you know, hurry always implies one thing, and that is a lack of a definite method. There's always confusion connected to it when you're in a hurry. An impatience to slow growth. Oh, I wish that kid would grow up and get out of here. Join the army. And there's always an anxiousness connected to hurry. Now, you sluggards out there, don't use this message for, as an example to sit. Just sit. Take it in the right context. But also, hurry always implies nervousness. It always comes about when you're in a hurry. You get nervous and you get frustrated. You're running here, you're running. You really don't get anything done. You're going in a circle. No plan, no method to your madness. My mother used to say that to me all the time. Is there any method in your madness? Why don't you construct your thoughts? When you go from the front of the cafe to the back of the cafe, then you take some dishes with you. And on the other hand, when you get up there, you check your orders and take your orders out. And always make every step count. Plan out. Think ahead. Yes, yes. Nature is an un-American activity. We should take it to court. We've built more than we can use. The junkyard attests to that. All of the houses that are empty all over, they attest to that. We ate more than we can stand. And we've hurried ourselves into mental illness. Broken families, frustration, and perversion. Now the world has a race also, one with impatience. What a world we... And you know, this world is running out of time. And this is Hebrews 12 and verse 1 and 2. Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Now, when you're scurrying around in a circle, remember, there's a cloud of witnesses watching you. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance, every weight, and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes, are you hearing us? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Now, you can go all the faith teachers you want to. There is only one author, and there is only one perfecter of your faith. And everyone's faith is a little bit different. The only thing they have in common really is that they have faith in the leader, Jesus Christ, who, for the joy set before him, and that's us, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so it's already finished that race as far as Jesus is concerned. Wow! Why not sell out into that? Why not be the ones that are bought with a price? 1 Corinthians then, and 9 and 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. The wreath we have, the one we receive the minute we receive Jesus Christ and get in the race. I don't care if you come limping in at the end or you have to be carried a foot horseback. It is secure. Anyway, therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. My watch to match the other night. And the guys stood so far away from each other, they were beating the air. And finally, one fell over. I mean, it was just, you know, he wore himself out. But I buffet my body and make it my slave. What does that mean? Well, it means that you don't run after every little thing, you know what I mean? Oops, there's something's happening. I got to go after that. It won't look too good if I don't run after that. And so you're a slave of Jesus Christ, and you'll have to do things sometimes you never thought you ever would do to keep in the race set before you. Lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Boy, does that ever fit in with missions. Now, one way to be disqualified is just quit.
So-and-so quit. Guess I'll have to go too. Be here all by myself and stuff.
Huh?
Well, I miss the fellowship and stuff.
There's a lot of people to have fellowship with. 35,000 we deal with every month. Are you hearing this? We are hurrying ourselves into the grave. Mental hurry. When is the check going to come, even if it's a welfare check? People bust their neck getting out to the mailbox. The neighbor's dog probably bites him in the seat of the pants on the way out there. Huh? Now, on the other hand, people at the stock market with all that money, they're weeping. You see them, pictures of them, they're weeping, crying. Where did they go? Right across the street. The business at the bar was doing great. The guy says, I wish this would happen every day. Great big, looked like a Mack truck stander. I wish this would happen every day. Wiping the bar down. People stand there with their eyes crossed. And so all they're hurrying to the stock market, standing in the bullpen, the pit. That's why they call it bull and bear. You have to bear it when you get in the bull pit. And we've hurried ourselves into mental illness, broken families, frustration, I said, perversion. We end up with hurry nerves. Who's nervous, me? I'm not nervous. Remember this character on TV when he was supposed to be a brain surgeon? And what's your occupation? Brain surgeon! How'd you like to have that nervous character working on your brain? And hurried up conversations. You ever notice how much of a hurry people are? They're walking away while you're talking to them. See you later. Bye. They didn't hear what you said. So long. I heard you. Sure. All right. And hurried up trips. Oh, yeah. Come on, move. Pack everything. Let's get going here. And then people leave, and then they forgot something. They hurried up, and they got to go back and pick it up. They forgot their wife or their kids. And hurried work at the assembly lines. And you got to hurry up. And then maybe some time study guy will come in there writing this down, see, making you all nervous. Well, you know, see, Well, he did 917 pieces an hour. But I noticed he scratched behind his ear three times, and so that means that he lost some count. Well, I'll make it 800, and then he can go for that. Maybe we can do without him altogether. Maybe we can get a part-time employee in here and then break him in right, break him in fast like you do a car, you know. And we're in such a hurry. So cars come off the assembly line with the shock absorber hanging down, muffler coming up through the back seat. Because we're in a hurry. Hurried up rest. What time is it? Oh, man, I got to lay down. I got to hurry up. I only got 50 minutes to take a nap. Huh? Do you ever try to take a hurried up nap? And you're at work and you lay on some hard bench someplace. And, man, I just got to lay down for a minute. Just take a nap, huh? And you lay there turning back and forth. And you might as well stay up. You're tired or trying to get a rest. And you get up and drag yourself back to your job where the time study man is there and try to be nice to him so he'll give you a few points. And hurried up eating. Going to McDonald's, everybody's standing there looking mean as can be. Now, if you want to see mean folks, go to McDonald's at noon. It's like whenever I go in there, I'm invisible. And I'm in this line, they get all the way up to me, they go over the other line. And I go over in that line, they go over the other line. Yeah. Hurry up and eat your lunch and get back to work. Got a half hour. Drive to McDonald's. Can you relate with this, radio audience? Drive to McDonald's, get over there, can't find a parking place, get inside and there's somebody standing in the doorway talking. Would you mind? Huh? And somebody spills malts behind the counter and somebody, get the manager, blah, blee, blah. They're back there mopping and they're laughing and joking. They got all the time in the world. You know what happened the other night? And the pop is pouring out over the sides of the cup. And then, oh yeah, really? Beep, boppy, dooby, boop, boop, booby, doo. Whoopie, poo, 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 huh? They're standing there jiving around. And you're in a hurry! Well, you get your double what is it? McDonald double cheeseburger, triple whatever, lettuce, tomato. It's a mess. Anyway, you stick it in your mouth and all the stuff comes out the sides. And so you're nervous and you're hurrying up and you got this gob all over the front of your pants. Even they got machines now that rotate the food. You ever been to that Duff's, was it? Well, they have this machine that goes around. They got people that throw chicken in, and they got it is the grossest place I've ever been. I actually see people that they fall right into the trays and they go around their faces and they're eating. Why? They're in a hurry. Now, kids can't even bother them while they're picking out all that stuff. They got to go, man. That thing, as they turn up. And they want chicken, they want fish, they want steak, they want everything, sauerkraut, throw everything on top of it. And so then we have hurried up education. Crash courses. What does that mean, crash course? They just run them in there and run them out and smack them up against the wall or what? Crash course? Hurried up marriages? In a hurry to get married, you listening on the radio? Are you? Take your time. Hurried fun? Come on, let's have fun! Did you ever go out and try to have fun? Okay, we're going. Tonight we're really going to have fun. And you build yourself up with a main goal in your life is having fun. What a bummer time you're going to have. Because you've come out to have fun. There's no fun out there. Fun is on the inside. You can have fun down there cleaning toilet bowls. Come on in, try it sometime. I'll show you how. I'll train you how to have fun cleaning toilet bowls. It can be fun. Toilet bowls and cleaning up toilet bowls can be fun. It's all on the inside. You can have fun at work. You can have fun wherever you go. If you're not in a hurry to have fun, oh, where can I have some fun? Oh, what should we do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. I don't know. Huh? And so you go see a movie or something, and they're all the same. They got 14,000 cars in a great big pile up. Smokey the Bear, Run Over the Bear, Kick the Bear, Choke the Bear. I mean, hey. Or Hurried Up Child Raising. You teach that kid to go potty if that's the last thing I do. Potty! P-O-T-T-Y, potty! Didn't you tell me when you have to go potty? Kid's barely crawling. How about women's lib? I'm getting more and more bound up. More and more bound up. I'm not saying some things aren't good, but for the majority of the call, they give up so much. You come a long way, baby, and they got one of these old Fearless Fosdick hats on and a pinstripe suit and a tie with a diamond in the middle and some pointed shoes, smoking a cigar. Or Hurried Up Gay Rights? Hmm? Hurried Up Worship? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, let's go. Well, you'll never have Hurried Up Preaching here. Lock all the doors and windows, no one's leaving. Hurried Up Preaching? You won't have that. Set your watches. Let's see if he can beat Priest so-and-so. He did one the other day. I'm not kidding you. 17 minutes. Just under 17 minutes. It was great. We were in and out of there and sitting over there at Perkins Pancake House. I mean, hey, it was fantastic. Before all the other people got out of church, we were sitting there stuffing pancakes and you know, the wham-wham or whatever they call that thing, the blast or the socko dinner, breakfast. Yeah, yeah. And we were over there, and it was 17 minutes, under 17 minutes, and less than 25 minutes, we were sitting at Perkins stuffing our faces. Why? Why are you in such a hurry? You want God to hurry up your life and cause everything to run real fast? No, you do that. You just run yourself ragged. You ever hear anybody say that? I just run myself ragged. They look like it too. Hurried up love. Good night. Now, the Tower of Babel, I think, was the world's first skyscraper, was a failure. You know why? Because they were in a hurry. The workers mistook their arrogant ambition for inspiration, something like the charismatic movement has become. A lot of experts, no workers. Everybody's got a word on how to do the thing, but nobody's doing anything to get the thing done. No order, no building, just sort of walking around in this kitchen over here giving a prophecy. And then they hear some kind of a strange call, and they go over to this kitchen prophecy. Huh? And so at the Tower of Babel, just like in Christianity, they had too many builders and no architect. No direction and no basis of truth. And we go into these Christian bookstores, Just anybody can write a book. I had a vision. I had a dream. God spoke to me while I was walking, down on East River Road or whatever. You can name it anything. People, this looks like a good one. Maybe I can fantasize on this one. But anyway, they said, come on, hurry, let's build, let's move, they said. Let's build a tower. Let's stop talking and just build. Just think, build. Use your imagination. Don't worry about the structure. Don't concern yourself. We don't have time to plan. Stack that brick. Don't worry about being a little crooked at the beginning. Now, you built, Marty. What happens when you have a brick that's a little crooked at the beginning? Well, if you're in Minneapolis and you build a big tower, it's going to be at top of it's going to be over in St. Paul. The Tower of Pizza Pie, I bet that's what happened to that. Huh? Guy was in a hurry, bad foundation. And I think it's there as a testimony. But anyway, don't worry about it being a little crooked and or like when you're painting at your place. Don't mix the paint. You leave all the oil on top. Just start putting it on. Come on, we got to hurry up. Never forget years ago when I started a trailer ministry. Remember that, Terry? And we had people, we're going to fix the place up. I excused everybody out of there because they were in such a hurry. You remember that? Cans of paint were sitting with brushes in them. I made a tape, don't tell whoppers to the Lords. We're going to fix it up, it's going to be great. It won't take long. There's a lot of talkers, but no doers. One guy drove in, backed his truck up because one of the pipes was crooked underneath the trailer leading to the toilet. And he says, I got a 4x4, I'll just give it a little nudge. Pulled the whole works right, the toilet bowl, the whole thing's right out the trailer. Quick, give me that board. Well, that's it. We're done. Don't it look great? And the son says, but Dad, but Marty, where are the doors and where are the windows? You didn't plan anything, Dad. Isn't that the characteristics of hurry? Shortcuts. Aren't we always trying to find a shortcut? Just think, if you were in a hurry and you think, well, I think I got enough gas to fly out there. I think so. How'd that be, Kent? you can't do that. You got to fuel up. You don't even trust the guys that fuel you. They're standing there chewing their gum. No, you check it. Do a finger test on the outside. You can't even you trust your dial sometimes. Just stick your finger in there. Stick your nose in there. Mine would work rather well in there. Huh? Give it a check. Yep, it's got gas in it. Gauges are working. You do a complete checkout before you go anyplace. Before we start something, why don't we check it out first? Check out the weather and the course and the price. No, we're in too much of a hurry. Well, maybe you take your airplane, you fly it up. Well, just fly straight up and then dive bomb into where you're going. There, I see it. Now I got a better vantage point. Huh? No, there is a course of action that you have to take. And so the result is a hopeless as trying to make a stuffed horse run. You're on this stuffed horse, you see, and you're whipping on it and saying, giddy up, like some kid. The only thing you're going to raise is a bunch of horse hair and dust and sneezing. And so hurry then is the counterfeit of haste. Haste has an ideal. A distinct aim to be realized by the quickest and the direct methods. You can have haste, but haste has in it a direction and a method. Timothy, come before winter, come with all due haste. But don't forget my books and my cloaks and my things. And so haste, I believe, has a single compass upon which it relies for direction, and in harmony with which its course is determined. We're in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to wait upon the Lord. Without your own hurrying, you make haste towards the Lord and His decisions, and you wait upon Him. And in the church, it's the same way. There's one leader in the church. But hurry says, move faster. You know what? Hurry says, I'll get three compasses. Sure, they'll all be different. Who cares? That's progress. I will be guided by all three. One of them should be right. Do them all. One's bound to turn out. I ran into an angry man this weekend, and I Psalm 103 and 8 came to my mind. God is slow to anger, quick in mercy. And I thought, oh, we're so quick to anger and slow in mercy and stingy also. But hurry never realizes that slow, careful foundation work is the quickest in the very end. Prepare the scene for work. That's why, Marty, they had an inspector come out. And they inspected your foundation to see if it was deep enough. What is it, 42 inches now you have to go? Yeah. I believe in them guys, but I always go another inch just in case somebody comes in there and has a different measuring stick. Oh, ground. There's a ground swell here. Actually, it's only 40 inches. Pull it all out. You always go one better, right, Marty? Put up a beam up there, either a 4x8 or thereabouts. Put a 6x8 up in there. That doesn't look like a right. That doesn't look like at the right beam. Didn't you say 4x8? Well, this is a 6x8. Oh my gosh, it is wonderful. And so that planning and that starting out right in the end was the shortest thing. It's like going on a trip and not taking a map. Well, we know it's west. Let's go. Due west. They got 14 detours, huh? Hurry up. Let's get going. And so you found out that a level foundation makes for a straight building, didn't you? Hurry has ruined more Americans than any other word in the vocabulary of life. Will you hurry up? We're such a hurry to get someplace. And you ever, when you get off work, you know, these guys stand at the time clock, and they punch, and at about 15 minutes or 17 minutes too, they start kind of cleaning their area up, you know. Got to get it good and clean, and they waste some time, you know. And they go in the restroom, and they waste some more time, and they're right up there at the clock. And that bell rings. Click! Out to their car they go. 100-yard dash. They get in their car, and they're in a hurry. They drop their keys. They can't find their keys. They get in their car. It's like they were in a race or something. All right, mount your vehicles, and away they go. And there's so much dust just from their feet getting to their cars, you can't see anything. And what do they do when they get home anyway? Sit in a rocking chair? Oh, honey, you made good time. You came home. You really made good time making it home today. And he just falls out on the couch and goes to sleep. So nice to have you home. Huh? Ooh, no, hurry is the scourge of America. It's hurried us right out of building things. The greatest builder, the greatest potential in all of the world, and everything is made somewhere else. Doesn't that aggravate you? Well, I'll give you something that might make you feel better. Everything that's made somewhere else was and is inspired by American money that's taken out of this country and actually owned by Americans. I don't care if it's Honda, Yonda, whatever, Yamaha, Saka Hockey, or whatever. It's all American brains and American money. They can just take more time over there because they got people that, they got to do a perfect job. And there's a lot of them. Now, you see, even now, 3M is getting a bug, and they want to move way out somewhere. Is it South Africa? I think so. Not because they're doing a favor, but the labor is cheap. Well, hey, don't get upset. It's just a sign of the times. Restlessness. The Bible says rolling of the seas is talking about people. A terrible anxiousness, and it says in the end that men's hearts shall fail, having heart attacks. Wall Street is a wailing wall. And this caused more heartbreaks, more heart attacks, more accidents. And down at your job, if they make everybody hurry, there's more accidents, isn't there, Ron? When they have everybody hurry, and they got some kind of a foreman in there that has no regard for safety, and, don't put your safety glasses on. Don't forget your safety glasses. I got to have this job right now. Zip. It's caused more death and on the highways. Why is there death? Because people are in a hurry, and if you don't get out of their way, they will shoot you. They want to get home to the rocking chair. Or if you tailgate somebody and you're in a hurry, they'll shoot you. Now let's look a little closer at this American disease. I think hurry, we could say, assumes many masquerades of disguise so that its identity is not always recognized. Sly old dog. And so hurry always pays the very highest price for everything. And usually the goods are not delivered. Some hurry into marriage and pay a high price. Many times they find out that it cannot fill the bill. The bill of sharing. I just thought I was going to be Miss Queenie and I wouldn't have to do nothing. I don't want to share in anything. I just want to be Miss Queenie. As soon as you walk off of that stage, girls, your little queen crown is put away forever. You are a housewife, or in this day and age, you are a housewife worker. No, I didn't want to share anything. I didn't know it was going to be like this and stuff. Huh? Dishes and babies and I want to go out. Any of you guys experiencing this in your young married life? Well, we have no money. But I want to go out. I don't care. I want to go out. Or vice versa. For all you girls that are ready to throw stones at me and come up through the radio. You thought I was going to be like Father Knows Best? What a lie that program is. Or Ozzy and Harriet? Nobody talks that slow. Huh? I'll have to say that's one program where nobody ever moved. They were not in a hurry. People do. They hurry into marriage and they think that doesn't work, so they hurry into having children. Let's have kids. That's what's missing. A boy for you and a girl for me. Don't you see how happy we will be? Huh? Are they happy? No, they were looking for that child to make them happy, not to make the child happy.
There you have it. That was episode 312. That was part one to Hurry. Be sure to listen to the conclusion on Sunday. Have a beautiful weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, may be the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe you're a construction worker, working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. Maybe the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call
just said somebody.